Tonight, if we can, turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 9, and I want to give you something tonight that will help you, and will encourage you, will be a blessing to you, and I don't know about you, but I'm glad tonight that I'm saved, and that I'm born again, and that I'm going to heaven when I die, and I know that for a fact tonight, amen, and I'm thankful for that tonight, and I sure hope that you can say the same tonight, and that you know that you're on your way to heaven, amen. And so I'm thankful for that tonight. I'm also thankful for this book right here. Amen. And I sure hope that you're thankful for this book. There's a lot of missionaries in a lot of foreign countries, foreign nations that don't have the Word of God tonight. And so I'm thankful for that tonight. And so I want to give you something from this passage right here. And I believe it'll be a blessing to you tonight. And it's what the Lord wants for us tonight. And you know this passage of Scripture right here in Acts chapter 9, what's going on here in really what's happening here. This is the story. This is the passage of Saul's conversion. And you know what happens there. The light shines down from heaven. He's on his way on the Damascus road towards Damascus. And the light shines down from heaven. And he meets the Lord right there on the road to Damascus. And I believe it was actually right there and then that Paul accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. But it didn't stop there. Right after that, Christ then gave Paul a calling. And what did he call him to be? He called him to be a minister. And he called him to be a witness and to be a missionary, amen, a preacher. And that's what he called him to be. And so we're going to read three different passages of Scripture tonight. And all three different passages of Scripture will help us with a normal topical message tonight. And something that is basic. But Acts chapter 9 and verse number 20, if you would, look there real quick if you would. Acts chapter 9 verse number 20, the Bible says, "And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues." And what did he preach about Christ in the synagogues? That he is the Son of God. That's what he preached. I want to focus on that very first part right there in verse number 20. The Bible says, and straightway. We know Paul to be a very obedient Christian. He's a very obedient after his calling that Christ had gave him. Christ gave him the calling to be a missionary. Christ gave him a calling to be a preacher. And the Bible says in verse number 20 that, "And straightway he went immediately and became a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ." And that's what happened right there in verse number 20. Now, if you turn your Bibles over in Acts chapter 9, just one more page here, Acts chapter 9 and verse number 36, here we see a different type of person. This is the second passage we're going to read tonight. Here we see a different type of person right here, but it's in the same passage. In verse number 36, the Bible says, "Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas, and this woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them." Pay attention here in verse number 39. This describes Dorcas very well right here. "Then Peter arose and went with them. And when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him, weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up." Here we see a different type of person right here. In the second passage right here, we see just a mere simple servant. That's who Dorcas was right here. She was just a servant. What did she make? She made coats and garments for the apostles. And I believe that every church has those types of Christians right there, just simple servants that are really working behind the scenes. They're involved with ministries in the church behind the scenes. Don't get a lot of the attention. Don't get a lot of the spotlight. But they're just simple servants wanting to serve God. Amen? And I'm sure that this church right here has that as well. Now, for the third passage right here, let's turn real quick to Acts chapter 5. And then we'll get into the rest of the message. Acts chapter 5 and verse number 40. Here we see a third type of person. In verse number 40, the Bible says, "And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles, and did what? Beaten them. They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, complaining." No, that's not what it says. It says rejoicing. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Here we see a very courageous type of person. I want to give you a message tonight entitled this, Three Types of Christians God is Looking For. Three types of Christians God is looking for. And I want to give you 3 points tonight, and hopefully they will be a blessing and help you tonight. Amen. The first type of Christian that God is looking for, if you're taking notes tonight, is the obedient type. God's looking for the obedient type of Christian. In Acts chapter 9 there, we saw this earlier, Acts chapter 9 and verse number 20, just for reference sake, the Bible says, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues. And we see in this passage right here, right after Saul accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior, he went immediately and started preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, this last summer, my wife and I, we went over to Germany for a few months. My father came back off the field, and he was here trying to visit some of his churches and going on furlough. And so he asked my wife and I if we'd come over and fill in and pastor the church there for a few months. And I said, that would be a great time and experience for my wife and I to do that. And so I said, let's do it. So I flew over to Germany with my wife. And while we were there, I started a sermon series in the German church there. My dad started. I started a series on the life of Saul, or the life of Paul, after his conversion, what type of a Christian he was before he accepted Christ and before he met the Lord on the road to Damascus, and then what type of person or what kind of person he was, type of Christian he was when he accepted Christ as a Savior, and then what kind of a person he was after he accepted Christ as a Savior. And you come to find out, if you do any studying, that Paul was very much the obedient type. He was the obedient type. And that's what God's looking for tonight. God is looking for someone to heed the calling. I believe that we have several folks in our pews, in our churches today, Brother Freeman, several folks that are called in the ministry that aren't going into the ministry. He needs you and I to be the obedient type. Paul even says in Acts chapter 26 and verse number 19, he's telling King Agrippa, he starts to tell King Agrippa what kind of a person, just like I told you, he starts to tell him his testimony, and he's standing there and he has his last chance to give an appeal, and he starts to give his testimony, and he starts to talk about everything of what kind of a monster and a terrorist he was before he accepted Christ as his Savior. And then he starts to talk about how he became a preacher, and he says this in verse number 19, listen, King Agrippa, for I was not disobedient under the heavenly vision. Because Paul was the obedient type. Paul obeyed the call of God for his life. And I firmly believe that we have several folks, whether it be young people, old people, middle-aged people, who are not obeying the call of God for their lives. And folks have their own plans. And people have their own agendas. We have our own ideas, and young people have their own ambitions and their own wants and their own desires and their own thoughts of what life should be. But God is looking for somebody tonight to be the obedient type and obey the calling that Christ has given them for their lives. That's what God's looking for. He's looking for the obedient type. We've been in several churches, my wife and I, several churches around this country, and presenting our ministry for the field. And I'm just a little bit biased, but I have a burden for Europe. I just do. Amen. And I have a burden for Germany. And to be quite honest with you, Pastor, I don't meet very many missionaries going to Europe. Not very many people surrendering anymore to the field to go to the European nations. I'm thinking about it, just the other day, we were talking with a pastor in Indiana. We were talking about mission fields that we never hear about missionaries going to. I never hear of anybody going to Austria. I never hear of anybody going to Switzerland. I never hear of any missionaries going to France, or hardly any going to Spain or Portugal. And maybe you have some that are going to some of these countries, and praise the Lord for it. But I believe that we have several folks that are not obeying the call of God for their lives because we have way too many people on our church pews that are playing around with church and not going into the ministry. Maybe God's calling you to be a preacher. Maybe God's calling you to be a missionary. Maybe somebody in here, God's been laying on your heart to be a youth pastor or a song leader, somewhere to get involved with a ministry, and folks just don't want to do it. The way it is sometimes. Maybe it can be a difficult task. The call of God oftentimes is something that you and I just don't want to do. could be difficult, or it could be looked at as a hard task. Jonah saw it the same way. He didn't want to go to the city of Nineveh. I don't have to go through that story. You know the story there with Jonah. But listen, God called him there. And listen, God can and he will get your attention. He can and he will. I was a sophomore in Bible college and I had just bought my very first car. And boy, I loved this car. I love this car. And this car didn't have any problems, Brother Freeman. Amen. Praise the Lord. No mechanical problems. Amen. Boy, mechanical problems, that really eats my lunch. And I remember I got this car and I had just bought it and I had just got through paying it off. And man, I really loved this car. It was a nice car. It was really just a perfect car for college, just to go from point A to point B and from school to work and from work back to school, all that kind of stuff. It was a Honda Accord. It was a nice car. And I remember I was keeping it clean and I would wash it all the time and hang up the little scent thing in the middle and everything and keep it all smelling clean and wash it and all this kind of stuff. And I did all this stuff with the car. I was very proud of it. I just paid it off. I was a college student, was broke, and I just paid it off. And a friend of mine from Germany said, "Hey, I'm going to come over here and visit you." And I said, "Go ahead and do that. Man, I'm trying to witness to this guy. I've been witnessing to him for years." And I say, "Come on over. And by the way, he needs the gospel. Amen. There's several people over there that I know that need the gospel of Jesus Christ right now. I can give you a whole list of names of folks that I know." He said, "I'm going to come over and I'm going to visit you." I said, "Come on over, let's do it." And he came over and he said, "Hey, why don't you take me down to Dallas, Texas?" I said, "What do you want to go to Dallas, Texas for?" And he said, "Dirk Nowitzki, the German basketball player, plays for the Dallas Mavericks basketball team, and I just want to see where he lives." I said, "All right, let's go." So we got in the car and we drove down there. We drove down there to Dallas, Texas, and I mean, we got ourselves in a huge wreck. I just got through paying off this car 2 months ago. I mean, a huge wreck. It totaled my car, just smashed my car. I said, "Lord, what in the world's going on here? I need a car." Started praying about it, got back to the college there, and someone in the church walked up to me and said, "Hey, I heard that you're looking to buy a car." I said, "Yes, I am. I need a car." They said, "Well, I'm selling my car for $300. I said, "Brother Freeman, that's the car for me right there." I said, "I'll buy that car. That's my kind of car." I said, "I'll buy it." So I bought it. I got in the front seat of the car, and I found out real quick why it was for $300. Amen. Now, there's nothing mechanically wrong with it. I know that's what you're thinking. But when I came back to the States, I found out not very many people drive stick shift here in the States. It's a lot of automatic transmissions. And so I knew how to drive stick from being over there in Germany. They all drive stick. And so that's what it was. It was a 1995 Honda Accord stick shift. I mean, it looked rough. I got in the car and I started driving, and if you have a stick shift or if you've ever driven one, you know that when you're sitting behind a stick shift car, you just really feel like you're in a race car. And I kid you not, I'm sitting in this 1995 Honda Accord and I'm driving around in Oklahoma City thinking I'm in a race car. And I mean, this thing sounds like a weed eater engine going down the road. I mean, it's a four-cylinder, it's like, I was out on bus visitation, visiting our bus kids on a Saturday. By the way, I commend churches that have a bus ministry, that have a burden to see young people coming to see, hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's a good thing. We were out visiting bus kids, and I had one of my best friends from college right here beside me. His name was Jake. My name's Jake. And I said, "Jake, watch this." And I started popping it into gear, and I started showing him how I could go 50 in a 35 zone in Oklahoma City. And I was going fast in the road. I mean, it was just starting to sprinkle a little bit, and the road was starting to get wet. And Jake said, "Man, you better slow down." And I said, "You know, my way." I said, "Don't tell me how to drive. I know what I'm doing." And I was driving. I was going fast down this hill. There was a pickup truck coming up ahead of us, a Toyota pickup truck, big pickup truck. And he said, "Jake, you better slow down. There's a truck coming up." I said, "All right." So I put on my brakes. I put them on a little hard. The back tires, terrible condition. The back of my car just started to fishtail. I mean, the back of it just started going like this. I just lost complete control of the car. I was trying to hold on to the steering wheel. I mean, the steering wheel is just going all over the place. And I said, "Jake, I've lost control of the car." And he said, "Man, we're going to hit the back of that truck. You better put on your brakes." And I remember we went in that oncoming traffic lane, and we did a whole complete turnaround in the oncoming traffic lane, went around that truck, and came back into the lane where the truck was in, didn't touch the truck, didn't touch anybody, didn't hurt anybody, didn't damage anything except for my car a little bit. But Brother Freeman, it was right there in that time, about that time, when I was losing control of my car that I started to think about a few things. Some things started coming to my mind. The kind of life that I was living. Was I having a walk with the Lord? Was I having a very good relationship and a fellowship with the Savior? And what kind of a life was I living? Was I living my life for the glory of God? And was I living my life pleasing unto the Lord? And all of these things started coming to my mind. And I'm telling you, listen, He can and He will get your attention. He can. God's looking for the obedient type. He's looking for somebody tonight to be obedient. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 19 and verse number 20 that you and I, if you've been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, and I hope you are tonight, that you are not your own, but you've been bought with a price. You and I, we are God's. We're not our own. You're God's tonight. God's looking for that obedient type. Not only is He looking for that type of Christian, but secondly tonight, He's looking for the servant type. The servant type. Turn your Bibles over one page, Acts chapter 9, verse number 39. The Bible says there in verse number 39, then Peter arose and went with them, and when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him, weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. Dorcas of Joppa was a servant. She was a servant. She made the garments there for the apostles, and she just wanted to serve God. Listen, listen, young person, listen tonight. God isn't looking for the talent. God isn't looking for the well-dressed. God isn't looking for the well-spoken, the well-sung. God's not looking for all the shiny. God's just looking for a simple servant. That's what He's looking for. You can be that servant. You can decide tonight, or you can decide right now that you want to be a servant for the cause of Jesus Christ. Are you a servant? Do you have a servant's heart? Christian, do you have a servant's heart? I love it when I walk into churches, and I love it when I walk into a church and I see the sign walking in, and it says, enter, and it says something, and then it says, when you leave, it says, now you're going into the mission field. I love that. I love seeing that. Reminds me that we're supposed to be servants. That's what Christ is looking for. He's looking for the servant type. Maybe I could ask you this right here. What are you doing at your home church? What do you do right here at your home church? Are you involved? Are you a servant? That's what God's looking for. Job chapter 1 and verse number 8. I don't have to go through this story neither, but Christ asked Satan there. He's having a conversation with him, and he asked him this simple question. He said, listen, hast thou considered whom? My servant Job. And Job was a servant. And he just wanted to serve the Lord. You say, preacher, what's the best way that I can serve the Lord? What's the best way that I can get involved and just be that simple servant that God's looking for? I'll tell you how. It's very quite simple. It's right here in your local church. That's how you can be a servant. Right here in your local church. Why? Because Christ is all about the local church. And Christ bled, and Christ died, and Christ arose again for the local church. Christ is all about the local church. You can get involved right here. This is a good place to get involved right here. This is a good place to start serving God. Why? Because Christ is looking for that type of person. We were in a missions conference not long ago in South Carolina. And we were in a missions conference there. And I love missions conference. I sure hope you do. You say, well, duh, you like missions. You're a missionary. Yeah, you got a point there. Amen. But I've always loved missions conference. And I thank the Lord for my parents. They've instilled in me to give and taught me from the Bible how it's biblical to give towards missions. And I've been given to missions ever since I was probably 6 years of age or so. I believe the Lord's blessed me in my life for it. I believe He'll bless you if you give to missions, amen. Why? Because missions is the heartbeat of God, amen. Why is it the heartbeat of God? It's all about souls. And Christ is concerned about souls, amen. That's right. We ought to be concerned about souls, amen. We were in this missions conference, and I was sitting there, and Sometimes it's nice whenever there's a guest speaker or whatnot, because sometimes I don't get to get preached at very often, Brother Freeman. And sometimes it's nice to be preached at and to hear some good preaching. And so he was preaching, a good message. I mean, the missions conference was just, it was a blessing. It was great. About 8 missionaries there. We were having the time of our life. And man, he was preaching a message on foreign missions. And he was preaching on foreign missions, and he started to talk about all the missionaries that were going to all the fields there in the missions conference. And they had all the flags kind of like this right here, what you've got going on around the auditorium right here. They kind of had all the flags going on around the church there in the auditorium. And they kind of had that all going, and he was talking about foreign missions, and he was talking about the missionaries needing the funds to go to the foreign field and how they're going to be doing their work on the foreign field. And he started to explain how missions works and all that kind of stuff. And everybody was shouting hallelujah, and everybody was shouting amen and all that good stuff. And then he said, let's go ahead and just talk about some home missions. And it got real quiet. And even I got quiet. I started to think about, he started preaching on home missions, and he started talking about folks reaching their own community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right there around the church. What was that church right there doing for the mission? What were they doing right there for the cause of Jesus Christ? Right there in their own community around the church, were they being the missionaries they needed to be right there? Now, I was not a member of that church, and I'm not a member of that church, but it was one of those messages where I was just stepping all over my toes. I love those kind of messages. Say, what in the world, why do you love? I love them because, you know what, it just makes you to be a better, it just really prompts you to be a better Christian for the cause of Jesus Christ. Gets you to thinking. And man, he was preaching a good, strong message, and it was going on there for a little bit. And he came down, and he sat on the very front row here, one of these and right here, and I won't get too close because, you know, but he sat on the very front row right here, and he turned around and he started talking to somebody right there, right behind him. And he said, sir, what's your name? He said, my name's John. And he said, John, let me ask you a question. What do you do here? He said, well, I've got my own business, and the Lord's really been good to me, blah, 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 and all this kind of stuff. And he said, well, that's great. He said, so what do you do at the church? He said, well, I do this. I teach Sunday school, blah, blah, blah. I'm this, I'm treasurer, and all this kind of stuff. He said, man, it sounds like God's really blessed you. It sounds like you're doing a great job. He said, oh, yeah, it is. He said, let me ask you a question. He said, if that missionary over there, and he points over at the missionary going to Mexico over there, and he says, if that missionary over there going to Mexico gets to the field and doesn't do anything what God has called him to do and sits on the beach and chills out, he said, what do you think this church should do if you support him? And that man said, well, you know, kind of underneath his breath, he didn't want to. He said, I guess we'd kind of have to drop him, I guess. And he yells back over, he says, sir, brother, going to Mexico over there, does that sound about right? Can this church drop you if you're not doing what God has called you to do on the mission field, if you're not doing your work? He said, yes, sir, they can. And he looked back and he said, John, one final question for you. Who cuts your pay when you're not a witness right here in your community? It was about that time, Brother Freeman, I said, man, Lord, don't let him come to my pew. Oh, man. Boy, I needed that night. Sometimes we need that. I thought about my wife and I, how as we travel, we travel from hotel to hotel and from missions apartment to missions apartment and from church to church and seeing pastor to pastor, and sometimes we can get so worked up and so busy and so consumed with traveling and deputation in our life and our work and what we're doing that sometimes we have to have that little bit of a spark come back about being a witness and being a soul winner and being a servant and doing exactly what God wants us to do, and God's called us to do that, to carry out the Great Commission. What are you doing right here at your home church? Are you a servant? Some of these ministries we've seen several churches that are thriving, that are just growing and doing great. We've seen some ministries that are really just kind of having a tough time and sometimes just need a little bit of encouragement, and that happens in the ministry, amen? That happens sometimes. And then we've seen some ministries that are just having a hard time, a really hard time, and there's compromise left and right on several ministries that are absolutely vital to the local church. And soul winning is one of those ministries. Amen. I was talking with a preacher not long ago, and I said, listen, I understand that we have to be full-time soul winners. That is our duty. As Christians, we have to be all the time soul winners and witnesses and show the other people in our neighborhood and show our coworkers and show people that we go to church with and show people that we go to school with and show people at the gas pump and here and there that Christ lives inside of us. But sometimes it's a good thing to get involved with the local church soul winning. And your local church, your home church has soul winning on Saturday or during the week, it's a good thing to show up. Why? Because Christ is all about the local church. And it's a local church ministry. Soul winning is basically gone. You can get involved with the Sunday school, the bus routes, nursing home ministries, teen class. There's so many ministries that you can just jump right in and get involved. And that's what Christ is looking for tonight. He's looking for the servant type. Are you a servant? I'll move on to my third point here, and we can be done here in just a moment. We must want to serve the Lord. Let me mention that here tonight. Listen, folks, as Christians, as born-again believers, we must want to serve the Lord, not have to. Want to serve the Lord. I mention this sometimes. Maybe this will be a help. Maybe this will be a blessing to somebody, encourage somebody. But when I was a teenager, well, actually, several years of my teenage life, boy, I had everybody fooled. I had everybody fooled. My parents, everybody. I mean, my parents would ask me every day. I'm being a little bit transparent here tonight. That's all right, though. Maybe it'll help somebody here tonight. Maybe a young person. My parents would ask me, did you read your Bible? Did you pray? And I'd say, yeah, I did. They'd ask me what I got from my Bible reading or whatever it may be, and I'd just make up something. A relationship and the fellowship that we have with the Father is something very serious. We have to have it, and I believe that if we have that, then we'll have a desire and we'll want to serve God. That want will want be there. It'll be there. The primary job of the local church, this body right here, this local assembly right here, the primary job of this local assembly is to what? It's to evangelize the lost and dying world. All of the ministries, and Pastor, you know this, my father was saved when he was about 14 years of age in a VBS. Miss Tilly Brooks led my father to the Lord there, and I think it was Harmony Baptist Church there. Greenville, South Carolina. And I think a little bit about, lately I've been doing a lot of this, thinking about this. I've been thinking about my father's testimony. And if my father didn't have a testimony, I don't know where I'd be today. And I think about my father's life and when he got saved. And I think when he was 16, my papa, his father, got saved and accepted Christ as a Savior. And a lot of things started to change and some things started to shift in the family and everything like that. But my father got saved in a VBS. And I love programs. I love VBS and I love the summer programs and I love youth rallies and youth revivals and summer camps and all of these things that we have. But may I tell you tonight that those things are just not for nothing. Those things aren't just for the fun of it. Those things aren't just for us to have an enjoyment in life. Those things are for one thing and one thing only, and that is the furtherance of the gospel. That's what that's for. It's all for the furtherance of the gospel. We must reach this lost and dying world with the gospel. It's our job to evangelize this world. This isn't a social gathering here. We're on a mission here as a church. Reach this lost and dying world with the gospel before it's too late. Someday it's going to be too late. Someday it's going to be too late for those Germans. We've got to reach them before it's too late. Amen. We've got to reach them before it's too late. Thirdly tonight, not only is he looking for the obedient type and the servant type, but Christ is also looking for, lastly, the courageous type. The courageous type. Acts chapter 5 and verse number 40, we see the perfect example, a pristine example of what courageous Christians, what courageous men look like. Acts chapter 5, verse number 40, the Bible says, and to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they then gave them a commandment that they should not do something, and we're seeing that a lot in our day. We see that a lot in several countries around the world that are forbidding folks and forbidding preachers to preach the gospel, the whole counsel of Jesus Christ. We see that a lot today, actually. And then in verse number 41, it says, they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing. Rejoicing. I don't know if we quite grasp how courageous these men were right here. They were the courageous type, and that's what God's looking for. When I was all throughout my teenage years, and I still do till today, I love the game of basketball, and I love to play basketball, and my father got me involved with basketball. He always enjoyed the game, and he got me involved with that and several other sports, and I'd come to him on a Saturday afternoon in Germany, and he'd be preparing his message there for the German message, and that's a difficult thing to do. You prepare not only the English one, but then you got to get it in German, and it can take time. It's time consuming. And I remember coming into his office on a Saturday afternoon, and I'd say, Dad, let's go play some basketball at the 1861 Sport Park up the road. I said, let's get on our bikes. Let's go down there, and let's go play. And he would oftentimes tell me, I don't have time for that right now. You're bugging me. Stop bugging me. I've got to get back to work here. Did we have anybody in here likes to read? Anybody in here likes to read? We got a few. Man, hardly anybody in here likes to. All right, the hands just keep coming up. Okay, there we go. All right. I can't stand it. I have a hard time sitting down, opening up a book, being quiet, and reading. I've always got to be doing something on the go. And that's where sports came. I love the game. I love sports. My dad would tell me, he said, stop, you got to leave me alone. You're bugging me. And then he would say this, and I couldn't stand it when he said this to me. He'd say, you know what? You need to go to my office, grab a book, sit down, open it, and read it. Come back and let me know what it's about. I couldn't stand it when he told me to do that. I'd go to his office, and I'd start looking through all of his books, and I was looking for the thinnest pamphlet I could find. And I'd go through all the books, and I'd find the thinnest pamphlet, and all the covers, they all look boring, and I thought, man, what am I going to read here? So I came across this little, actually it wasn't a pamphlet, it was more of a book. And the title of the book, it had a man's hand on the front of it, and it was black and white, and there were chains hanging from the wrist of this man's hand, and it looked like the hand was in pain, and maybe a little bit of, you know, blood on the hand or something like that, and it looked like it was in really pain and stressed out. And I said, man, what's this book? And I pulled it out, and I read it, and the title of the book said, Tortured for Christ. And I said, man, that's the book for me right there. Let me read that. So I grabbed that book and I read it a first time. Then I read it a second time. Then I read it a third time. I mean, I couldn't get away from it. It was about a man by the name of Richard Wurmbrand, and you maybe would pronounce it Wurmbrand here. Richard Wurmbrand, back in the early 1900s, was a Romanian preacher. He lived in communist Romania, and he was a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He wasn't a part of the state church or anything like that, but communism had come into Romania and just swept over all those countries, those Soviet Union countries, and they just taken over, and I mean, with an iron fist, they just took over, and everything was communism, and they even told the state churches there, the Catholic and the Lutheran churches, that you have to preach communism and all hail our leader of communism, Stalin, and all this kind of stuff. And you have to actually preach it, and you can't preach the gospel. You have to throw your Bibles out. And all the state churches literally did exactly what they said. Go figure. But there were a few men that did not and would not. And Richard Wurmbrand was one of those men, and he started holding a church service in his home and kept having church. And they didn't have the copy of the Word of God because those had all been already confiscated and taken from them. But he mentions this in his book, that they had learned so much scripture and memorized so much scripture by heart. It was like they had the whole Bible in front of them. And he would have services and they caught him and they put him in jail for 14 years. Simply for doing what I am doing right now. What your preacher does every service, he stands behind this desk right here. For 14 years, they sent him to a communist prison in communist Romania, and that was not a fun place to be. He starts to talk about it in his book, and he starts to talk about what they used to do to them in those communist prisons. And he mentions this in his book. He says, I'm telling you, he said those communist guards, it was like they were demon-possessed. He said they hated us. And they hated the gospel and they hated the word of God. And he said we'd be praying in our cell. And he said they would come and they would, oh man, he said it would just, it was terrible. He said, but they made a mistake. He said they threw me in a prison cell with other preachers, other Bible preachers. And he said it was like we had the whole word of God in that one cell. And he said, I mean, we started preaching. And he said we started singing. And he said it was like Paul and Silas in the jail. And we started having revival right there in the prison, that communist prison. And he said, some prisoners over here in this prison cell over here started accepting Christ as their Savior. And then this thief and then this person over here and this murderer and this prisoner over here started accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. And he said, we started having revival there in that communist prison. He said those guards absolutely despised that. He said I'd be preaching in my cell and they would open that cell door, he said, and they would come in and they would grab me by the collar of my shirt and they'd pull me out of that cell and they'd drag me out of the cell and they'd take me down a corridor, down a hallway and just dragging me, not even letting me walk and just dragging me down the cell, down the hallway there, and they'd take me into a room, and they would just have their way with me for hours. He said, I remember it being the very bright early morning and then coming back to my cell that evening, and it was dark. He said they would bring me down from where they had me hanging there, and he said they would have done all this to me. And he said, man, it was just terrible. He said, it was just like murder. He said, it was just so bad. Every bone in my body and my feet and my legs, every bone was broken. There was nothing left of me. I felt like I was completely done. And they would taunt me and say, where's your God now? And if you just give up, that you're never going to preach again. And you can't sing about him anymore. And you can't do all this stuff anymore. If you just give up, we'll stop. And he just pressed on. And he said that they let him down and they would drag him back down to his cell block. And when they were dragging him down that hallway down there to his cell, he said he could hear from afar in their Romanian language. He said he could hear from afar that other preacher was preaching the gospel as loud as he could, knowing full well, Brother Freeman, knowing full well what was about to come to him. He said they would come and they would throw me back in that cell, and he said I would be on the ground and they would grab that preacher and drag him out of the cell. And he said I would get enough strength just to sit up against the cold stone wall of the cell there. And he said I would sit up and he said I was just done. He said I felt like I was just done. And he said, am I my body? He said, I was just done. He said, but something inside of me, he said, a fire sparked. And he said, I just felt like spreading the gospel and just preaching more and more about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he said, he got up on the side of that cell and he said, I just started uttering the words of God and just started preaching again and started singing as loud as I could. He said, we just kept doing that for days and days. And he said, we made a deal with the guards. You beat us, we preach, and we'll all be happy. Could you imagine? God's looking for the courageous type. I believe those men were courageous, don't you, brother? I believe those men were courageous. That's what God's looking for tonight. Where are the men tonight in our churches? Where are the courageous men and women in our churches? Instead, we get knocked down with things that people have said to us. People have hurt you, perhaps. People have treated you the wrong way, perhaps. maybe some folks, Christian folks and fellow brethren in Christ have spoken to the wrong way, perhaps. I don't know the situation. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 13 that these men right there had suffered persecution as well, but the Bible tells us that they shook the dust off their feet and they kept moving forward. That's what God wants you to be. He wants you to shake off the dust and keep serving God. Be courageous. Be courageous. Be the obedient type, the servant type, and the courageous type. And let me tell you tonight, and I'm going to end with this. Let me tell you this tonight real quick. You say, well, preacher, there's no way that we have to go through that today. You're right, we don't go through that. No one's coming here and taking me down and dragged me off to somewhere and all this kind of stuff. But you're right, we don't have, there's no way that I could show my courage in that manner right now. So you say, preacher, that's not relevant then to me. I can't really relate or anything like that. Well, God's made it really simple for us to be courageous today. There's a simple way. I'll tell you how it is. He's made it very simple, very easy for us to be courageous tonight as Christians living in America. By the way, this kind of stuff right here was here in the very early 1700s. We had persecution of Christians and preachers here in the United States. We got to be careful that doesn't happen again here. Amen. That's right. That's why we can't let socialism in, because after that's communism. And communism is a godless thing. So there is a way that we can be courageous. And it's simple. All you and I have to do is just open this right here. Just open your mouth. You say, what do you mean? Open your mouth and tell someone what happened to you in your life. When's the last time you actually told someone your story? When's the last time you actually opened your mouth and you started to tell someone about the gospel of Jesus? Let me tell you what happened to me. One day I was lost and now I'm found. When's the last time you told someone about that story? When's the last time? I love to tell the story. Do we truly love to tell a story? Do I truly love to tell the story? It's just some things for us to think about tonight. That's a way for us to be courageous, is to tell the story. Tell others. Man, it's so easy, isn't it? Isn't that simple? That's pretty simple. For some, it's harder for others. And I'll end with this, and I'm really going to be done with after this, preacher. I'll end with this. We were in a missions conference in Oklahoma City, and someone preached there about, of course, it's missions conference. It's about souls. It's about soul winning. It's about getting the gospel to people. Amen. People say, oh, it's always about that. Well, is there something wrong with that? It's the Bible. Amen. We were in this missions conference, and man, I got challenged. I came down to the altar, and I was broken. I said, Lord, reignite in me a fire to have a desire. Sometimes we have to ask God, remind me to give out the gospel. Bring it to the forefront of my mind that I don't go through the day and not tell someone about the Savior, about you. Remind me, Lord, remind me to be a soul winner. I came down and I prayed that at the altar, and I went back to my seat, and my wife and I, we got in the car, and we do what every good missionary does after church. We go to Walmart. Amen. We got in the car and we started going down the road, and we got to a Walmart in Yukon, Oklahoma. And I pulled up and I said, you know what's interesting? I said, Shay, let me tell you something. You know what's really interesting to me? We talk about Adolf Hitler in history. How terrible of a person. I mean, just a Satan of a person. Terrible person. And we talk about these kind of men, and we talk about Stalin and the millions of people that he murdered. We talk about Mao and the millions of Chinese people and the millions and the hundreds of thousands of Christians that these men murdered through the ages of time. And we talk about all this, and we talk about how bad they are and all this kind of stuff, and that is true. I mean, these men were satanic. I said, but then we live here in this country in America. And we murder babies every day. Hourly, we're murdering these innocent babies. I said, but Shay, let me take it one step further. I said, I really felt convicted about this. I know it's not the same scale, but I said, how am I any better when I walk right past people, lost people, and I don't care enough to give them a gospel tract? I say, hey, listen, can I give you something? Will you read this real quick for me? What is it? Oh, it'll tell you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. We're not courageous enough. We're too much in our own shell. We're too much in our own desires and our own wants and our own thoughts of what our daily life should be. And we have our own program. We have our own schedule. And we don't leap out and just be courageous and give someone a track or give someone the gospel. Speak to somebody. Be courageous. What God wants. That's the type of Christian he's looking for. We've got to be better at this. The Bible says, in some having compassion, making a difference. Do you have compassion tonight? What about Madison, Virginia right here? About Culpeper? What about these areas? Do you have compassion? Do we have compassion? And every head bowed and every eye closed tonight, thank you so much for listening. I'll turn it over to the pastor here in just a moment. Thank you so much for listening tonight. Boy, you were very attentive. And hope God could just use this message to help you, encourage you. And well, I don't know about you, but I know the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. I know that without a shadow of a doubt tonight, I know the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. He's not just there to guide us and to comfort us, but he's also there to convict us. Sometimes we need that, amen. I need that. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, listen, preacher, what's all the fuss about? Why would I need to be obedient and a servant and a courageous person? What in the world, what does that mean? What are you talking about? Well, may I ask you tonight, do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Do you know him personally? No, I don't mean do you know him because your parents have come to church all their lives or your grandparents or you've given to the offering or your church attendance is right on track or anything. I'm not asking you that. I'm asking you, has there ever been a time in your life where you've made it personal, you've accepted him, you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and by faith you accepted salvation? Has there ever been a time in your life for that? If there hasn't, you need to get that taken care of tonight. You need to get that taken care of tonight. That's important. Listen, you and I are not guaranteed another second in this room. But if you are saved tonight and you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, maybe you're saying I could be more obedient. There's areas. Maybe you're saying I could be more of a servant. Oh yes, there are areas in this church. I know there has to be areas in this church where you can just jump right in and get involved. I would be a huge blessing and a help to this church, to your pastor, and to other folks in this church. Maybe you could be more of a servant. Maybe you're saying tonight, and this really hit me tonight, to be more courageous. Get the gospel out. Open your mouth. Tell others about the gospel. Maybe this is the time. Listen, we have the music. The music is good. And I don't know how y'all usually do the whole invitation, but the music is good. I love music. I don't think I'd ever go to an independent Baptist church without good, Christ-honoring music. And the preaching, the Bible says it's through the preaching, the foolishness of preaching, men cometh unto righteousness. So we know that preaching is important, and I don't think I'd ever go to a church that didn't preach the gospel. The full counsel, full book here, the whole gospel of the Word of God. I don't think I would go to that kind of church. Can I tell you tonight that all of that is leading up to this one point? This is the most important time of the service right here. Why? Because this is when you and I, we do business with God. This is when we do business with God. Would you do business with him tonight? Maybe we could get someone to come and play the piano, maybe just a few verses. I don't know if we have a piano player in here, someone that can play just a few verses of maybe an invitation or something like that. That'd be great. Just a soft hymn or something. Maybe Have Thine Own Way or something like that. Maybe I Surrender All. I think that would be good for us just to give a moment. Maybe this would maybe be a good time for you to, when she's playing, for you to maybe come down here and do business with God. Maybe there's somebody here tonight that says, you know what, I just need to come to the altar. This is the time. God's really spoken to me, and I just need to do business with Him tonight. I think He's worthy tonight. I think He's worthy. If you're sitting here and Christ has saved you out of your sin, He's pulled you out of that sin and He saved your soul from hell, and you know for a fact, without a shadow of a doubt tonight, that you're on your way to heaven, I believe He's worthy that you give Him a little bit of your time tonight. I do. I do. You come on down and do business with God. Let Him do a work through you. Maybe you can come down and say, Christ, what would you have me to do? What do you want me to do? I'm right here. I'm yours. I am yours. I am not my own. I just want to serve you with all my being, with all my heart. Maybe a young person here tonight, you come down to the altar and you say, I just want to sell out to the things of God. I just want to do exactly what God would have me to do and less of what I want to do and more of what He would have me to do. Maybe you can do that tonight and come down to the altar and make that commitment tonight. I think that would be Christ honoring tonight. I think that it would please Him. You do business with God tonight.